April 26, 2024. Yesterday we began talking about, with regards to a ma'aseh hezek, a person who did an action which caused damage. How do we determine the time during which they're obligated? The Gemara in Masechet Bava Kaman Daf Yud Zayin Amud Bet has a safek about this matter. Do we go batan me'ikara? Do we go based on the initial action? In other words, a person set into motion something that was going to lead to damage. The Gemara over there is talking about an animal which pounces on a utensil. The utensil then rolls and breaks somewhere else. Do we imagine it as the initial act of pouncing on it, of jumping on it, and is what caused the damage? And ultimately speaking, that's the ma'aseh of nezik. Or do we say it's the final action when it actually breaks? L'may nafka mina, who cares? The Gemara is very clear over there. The difference between those two approaches is how much you're going to be obligated. It's your animal, after all. You're paying half or you're paying whole. If it's a step removed, it's what we call sirorot. We'll posek lehalacha sirorot is hatzi nezik. If it's based on the initial action, then it's 100% liability. That's what the Gemara set forth for us. That question, it was the Ba'ir Rava. The Gemara said Rava may have had a safek, but Rabba with a he was clear. How did Rabba show that he was clear about this? Because Rabba talked about a situation where a person was Zorek Keli, a person threw a utensil off a roof, and there's another person who's at the bottom and he's Mishaberet Bemakel. He breaks it at the bottom. What's the halacha in such a circumstance? The first person's liable, not the second one. Why not? Because the Amrinan Le, because he can say to him, Manate Vira Tabar, I broke an already broken utensil. The vessel was broken the second it left your hands on the roof. Clearly, we're going batar me'ikara, based on the initial action. That's what the Gemara sets forth in the name of Rabbah, and that's how we're posek lahalacha. Tosafot, if you recall, distinguished. Tosafot said makes a difference between whether the item was thrown off and the item is actually broken, because the item is in the air on its way to its demise, and a situation where the item hasn't been affected directly at all. In other words, I sent an arrow at the item, someone comes and breaks it in the interim. In such a situation, we wouldn't say that the item is long gone and lost from the initial moment, because it didn't have its initial moment. Its moment has not yet arrived. And as a result, Tosafot says that we should differentiate between those two. If the item itself was affected, then we say mana tevira tavar. We say the initial action is the action of nezik, as opposed to if something was on its way to affecting the item. In that situation, we don't say so, and we say it's less direct. Tosafot brings a proof. They say, after all, the Gemara talks about something called serorot. It means there can be indirect damage. If you're always going to tell me that batar me'ikara azlinan, if we always go based on the initial action, so then you never have something called serorot. Serorot would mean, well, it's only when the item actually gets broken. Oh, it seems like sometimes we care about when the action gets broken, and we say it's indirect with regards to the beginning stage. That was the claim of Tosafot. The way we discussed it and suggested it yesterday, based on Kesot HaHoshen. Kesot HaHoshen was written by Rabbi Aryeh Leib Heller. He was a great 18th century, early 19th century rabbi from Eastern Europe. He wrote a book called Kesot HaHoshen, a book called Avnei Miluim on Even HaEzer, and a book called Shev Shma'atata. Those are his three most famous sefarim. Kesot HaHoshen is on Hoshen Mishpat. You don't learn Hoshen Mishpat, which is the fourth section of Shulchan Aruch, without learning Kesot HaHoshen. It's in-depth and it goes through the sugyot and the rishonim on a very high level. So anyway, Kesot HaHoshen assumed, and we'll read a little bit of it in a moment, that Nimukei Yosef, in his famous words on the sugya later on Daf Kaf Beit, disagrees with this Tosafot. How did he deduce that? Because Nimukei Yosef is talking about the halakha of Isho Mishum Hitzav. In a situation where a person lights fire, how do we determine that fire's liability? Is it as if it's my animal, my property, which now went in damage? Or is it an extension of myself? Rabbi Yochanan said, Isho Mishum Hitzav. Said Nimukei Yosef, if that's the case, how can we light candles before Shabbat? How can we light anything before Shabbat? If it's on Shabbat, well, then it's a direct extension from me. It's called Hilul Shabbat. That was the question of Nimukei Yosef. It's Hilul Shabbat on the Deoraita level. I'm kindling, I'm lighting at every second. Answered Nimukei Yosef, you have to distinguish. It's true. It's true that my liability will be in the form of my doing, but the action was done and finished before Shabbat. He gave a clear explanation. He said, otherwise, you'll say that when the fire goes and lights something afterwards, I'm honest, I wasn't able to control it any longer. In the initial moment, I lit it. That's where my action finished. And you'll say, in the continued moment, I'm honest, I'm not... So says Nimuke Yosef instead, my action is finished in the moment where I lit it, and what happens afterwards traces back to that moment, but the action was done then. Therefore, with regards to Shabbat, my action of lighting the candles was done then. The candles which are lit afterwards might trace back to that, but that's not my action. He explained likewise, based on this, that if a person were to light the field of another and then die before the field is burnt, such a situation, the estate, the children of that person have to pay for it. Why so? I wasn't alive at the time that it was burning, and it's my action, is it not? He suggests that the action was done in the initial stage, and as a result, everything that happens thereafter, yeah, I'm going to be obligated for because of that initial action. That's how Nimuke Yosef writes it. But wait a second, says Kesot HaHoshen, you see clearly from Nimuke Yosef that we're going Batar Me'ikara, we're going based on an initial action. Tosafot told us we go based on the initial action when the actual item was affected, when the item was thrown off the roof. If I throw arrows at it, if I throw a rock, if I shoot a bullet at it, in such a situation, we don't go based off of the initial action. But Nimuke Yosef, who's talking about, listen to the words, Isho Mishum Hitzav, my fire is as if it's my arrows, he's saying to us, and it's done in the initial stage. So it seems like a mahloket, he suggested, Kesot HaHoshen, between Tosafot and Nimuke Yosef. We therefore, following the lines of many of the Aharonim, asked several questions on Nimuke Yosef. If this is right, that we always go based on the initial actions, we said several Gemarot, among many others, are difficult. We said that the Gemara in Masechet Ketubot, the Gemara later on Daf Ayin, the Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit and Daf Kaftet all pose potential difficulties. The Gemara, this one we said with a smile, and Daf Kaftet and Masechet Ta'anit says that Rabbi Yochanan remarked that had I been alive during the time of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, I would have established the 10th of Av as the day on which we celebrate, or we commemorate, better yet, Tisha B'Av. It would have been Asara Be'av. Why so? Because the final blow of burning took place on the 10th of Av. But wait a second. If it began on the 9th, Rabbi Yochanan, you're the rabbi who says, Yisho Mishum Hitzav. Nimuke Yosef told us that that means that the initial action is done at the moment that... The whole action is done at the moment of the initial action. When that being the case, it's the 9th of Av. That's when they began lighting it. That's when the burning, so to speak, took place with regards to your action. That was question number one. Question number two was the Gemara in Masechet Ketubot. The Gemara over there is talking about a situation where a person on Shabbat is violating the Isur of Tiltul Birshut Arabim. So he's shooting something through the air, and while it's in the air, it tears someone's garment. Now, it hasn't yet gone for Amot Birshut Arabim, it hasn't had an Akira and a Hanaha yet. And the Gemara says that in such a situation, well, take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says on Shabbat, in such a circumstance, says Hazorek Hetz mitchilat arba lesof arba bekara shirayim ba'alichato patur she'akira sorech hanaha. Even though you haven't yet had an hanaha, a hanaha means that it rested on the ground, doesn't matter, we have a virtual coming down. The only way you're going to be liable on Shabbat is if something went up in the air and came down. If it never rested in Rishut Arabim, so you're not going to have that liability from the Torah of Tiltul Birshut Arabim. Well, that being the case, says the Gemara, the reason you'll be won't have to pay for the garment which was ripped is because in the same moment that it was ripped, it's as if the item's already on the ground. Why is the item already on the ground? It's in the air. Says the Gemara, because akira sorech hanaha. It's a mechanism. It's a rabbinic expression, which means if it's going up in the air, it's coming down. We look at it as if it's already down. Why do you need such a logic? According to Nimuke Yosef, that's the way it works. When a person does an action, the action is done in the initial moment, the moment that it was thrown. Everything's wrapped into that moment, right? That's why if I die afterwards, I'm liable, because everything was wrapped into that moment. Why do you need to say the words Akira Tzorech Hanaha? And along the same lines, the Gemara in Masechet Bava Kama later on, Adafayin Amud Bet, talks about where a person throws an item into someone else's possession. And that's the mechira of a shor. A person stole an ox and throws it into a person's possession. And at the same moment that it crosses boundary lines from Reshut HaRabim into Reshut HaYachid, at the same moment that I'm going to be liable for Hilchot Shabbat, I'm going to be liable as well for the stealing. And therefore, I won't have to pay for the stealing, or the selling, rather. And so the Gemara says, well, whose opinion would that follow? It followed Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rabbi Akiva maintains that kiluta kemishun hadamya, when the item goes up into the air, it's as if it's already on the ground. Similar to that Gemara and Ketubot, a little bit different over there. We're talking about akira and hanaha. Over here, we're talking about ha'avara mereshut lereshut. Regardless, the same question. It's literally the same question, just with different contexts and different contours. One was in Reshut HaRabim, one's from Reshut HaRabim to Reshut HaYachid. But the question is, quite simply, why do you need to go according to the Bitarfon that it's as if it's already down on the ground? According to the Mukei Yosef, this is always the reality. When an action is put into motion, it's all done in that moment. You see a child going off the path doing something wrong. I could say, in that moment, I saw the whole devastation and destruction. Then, lo aleinu, I had to block you from doing it then. What do you mean, Dad? What do you mean, Mom? I didn't do anything. I was only beginning to do it. In the beginning actions, it's all stuck in that. I see the whole thing clustered in that initial inspiration and the first gesture of your hand. That's the claim of Nimukei Yosef. So I don't understand why you need fancy terminology in these Gemarot. You have to work with the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. And I do believe it should be Shabbat. What are you talking about, Rabbi Yochanan? Those are the three questions we posed yesterday. One more question of Kisot Ahosh, and then we're going to advance the approach of many of the Aharonim. We're going to read it from Kihilot Yaakov, from the Stipler Gaon. So here in Siman Shin Sadi, that's the end of Siman Shin Sadi, well, it's really the beginning and end, of Kesot HaHoshen, here on the page Taf Kof Samech, on the right-hand column, right next to in the text where there's the footnote 7. The last word on the line on the right-hand side is Vehineh. Right, so you find that. This is Kesot HaHoshen finishing his questions, his issues. And again, he pitted these two opinions of Nimukei Yosef and Tosafot up one against the other. So he writes over here, Vehineh. Bitur katav besiman tafyot het vezal vezeleshono. He quotes from Tur. Tur is Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Harosh. He quotes the following. Now we saw this earlier in our Gemara, Daf Kafbet, in that sugya of Isho Mishum Hitzav, Isho Mishum Mamono. But we didn't see the way it's nifsak lahalacha. And Tur, listen to the words. Gamal ta'un pishtan. We might remember this case. This is a camel which is carrying flax. Ve'avar bereshut harabim. Passing in a public thoroughfare. V'nichnas pishtano letoch hanut shel chenvani. And the flax, the linen, goes into the shop of an owner of that shop. V'daleka b'neiro shel chenvani. And then the owner in that shop had a candle. And the flax, the linen, goes in and sets it on fire. V'dalka kol habira. And the whole building goes on fire. V'al hagamal hayav. The owner of the camel is obligated to pay. Shepasha b'mashir b'masui ad shenichnas b'tocha hanut. He was negligent in putting too much flax, too much linen on the back of his camel to the extent that it entered into the shop. V'im hagamal, listen carefully, holech u'misachsech ha'esh b'chol habira hayav b'kulo nezek shalem. V'im lo sichsech kol habira ela hidlik b'makom ehad. ומשם נתפשט בכולו חייב על מקום שהדליק נזק שלם ועל השאר חצי נזק. Now this question, this issue, when we were teaching this sugya, Jeffrey Gindi, I remember it clearly, asked me twice. You could listen on the recording, you could remember. He says, are you hayav 100% or hayav 50% on the whole building? And I said, it's a complicated thing. It's in Tur. I don't, can't get into it right now. It's a very significant point. Listen to the way Tur articulates this. His statement is as follows. He says, if the animal goes and it's holding that bird and it comes next to the building and it sets on fire, if it just sets the building on fire, heke lo aleinu, so now it goes on fire, what's my liability as the owner of the animal and in turn of bringing forth that fire? I'm 100% for makom shiv'ir, the initial place where the animal set the fire to go up, 100% liability. Everything else that it's spread out to, 50%. This is going even according to the opinion of Isho Mishum Hitzav. He says that's in contrast, one second, says Tur, to if I my animal goes, gets the fire, now it's on the back of the animal, and I'm walking with my animal around the building. Mabadif, why I would be doing so, maybe I'm very angry, or maybe I want the scenic tour and route around this building. But as I go around the building, my animal literally touches every place in the building and sets it on fire. Then I'm Hayav Nezik Shalim. The simple interpretation to Tur is he's distinguishing between direct and indirect. In one situation where the fire on my animal's back touched every single part, that's direct. In the other situation, although the initial touching was direct, everything that it spread out to was indirect. I'm not going to be Hayav 100%. We'll call that indirect to the extent I'd only be Hayav Hatzi Nezik. Writes Kesot HaHoshev. First he writes Ayin Kaf Lamed Ad Kan Leshono. He finished quoting from Tur. Vekashyalan. He says, I have a difficulty. Based on what we established from Nimuke Yosef, that with regards to the arrow, unlike Tosafot will say the arrow is a bit different, the arrow is less direct than when you push the thing. You push the item off the roof, that's more direct. Mana tevira tavar, we go batar me'ikara. But according to Nimuke Yosef, even when I shot the arrow, even when I shot the bullet or I threw the item, whatever, I set a fire, that's what Nimuke Yosef is talking about. I on Erev Shabbat put my wick on fire. The action is fully done in that moment, like the child, you see their demise in that moment, the person is going off the track. In that moment, I know what comes afterwards is really actually taking place later, but I see it all in that moment, the ma'aseh is done. So says Nimuke Yosef, Imken, Kevan Shidlik B'miksat Abira, once even a portion, a part of that building was set on fire.
All places,
Linda,
all places.
What would be, for example, if someone else comes and does their own lighting? Just like Tosafot told us, just like the Gemara told us with regards to if you threw the utensil off the roof and someone hits it at the bottom, the person who hits it at the bottom is Patur. So Nimuke Yosef, our understanding, it's no different. If you shot the arrow and someone comes and smashes it before you, they're Patur as well. So Dazlinan Batar Mi'ikara, we go based on the initial action. V'imken, Ihu gufe, meaning he himself, keshem misachsecha, hakach kol abira, hare kvar hu mevu'ar velo lehayev ben ezek shalem, says in Kesot HaHoshen, ironically, the way it should work out is that if I go isho mishum hitzav, there should be no distinction between when I touched it to one place or I touched it to all places. What should the halakha be? You think that he should be hayav 100% in all. He says if we're going isho mishum hitzav, he should be hayav half on both situations. Why? Because in the initial situation where my animal touched the side of the building over there, touched the side of the building, now the whole building is as if it's burnt. If I go now, but how's it burnt? It's burnt because it's going to spread out. If I go and I light each one of those sections afterwards, you say, oh, now it's direct. Now it's 100%. Not 100%. Now it was already burnt. It was already burnt from an indirect lighting. And as a result, ironically, I should only be hayav half even when I touched all the portions, all the parts of the home and the building. In short, Nimuke Yosef says, I can't understand the distinction between if you touched every part of the building or you touched one part of the building. The halakha should be, according to Nimuke Yosef, claims Kesot HaHoshen, that they have the identical halakha. The action which was initially taken has all the consequences wrapped up into it. If it's indirect, it means it's all half. If I'm going to consider it direct, it's all whole. But regardless, it's all done then. How do you distinguish, according to the approach of Isho Mishum Hitzav, which Nimuke Yosef set forth for us, between any of these sorts of situations? So for this, we now take a look at this book, Kehilot Yaakov. In today's day and age, he's better known for his son. But in his own generation, he was known for himself. His name was Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky. Today, again, people know Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, his son. So he became famous because of his son for our generation. But in his generation, he was the Gadol Hador, independent of any son which was to come. He was brother-in-law as well with a Gadol Hador, with Hazon Ish. Anyway, he wrote these Sefarim called Kehilot Yaakov. The story about how I got this one specifically is when I was in high school, I was learning Bava Kama. I wanted this Sefer. Not that I was going to learn all that much of it. I maybe learned 2-3 of the Simanim, but I wanted to have the Sefer. So I went to Bnei Brak with my, I begged my parents to take me. I went to break to Bnei Brak, and I went to buy it. It was right next to it. We went to Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, and then it was right next to him. You bought it from his daughter at the time, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky's sister. And so I went to buy it, and I said, I'd like to buy Kehilot Yaakov. She said, which one? What are you learning? I said, Bava Kama. So she took just this one out for me. So I said, no, I want the whole set. So she said, what do you want the whole set? You're not learning all of Talmud right now. I said, but I live in America, and you can't buy it anywhere else. She said, but what do you want the whole set? We're back and forth with my parents there. It's the first and only time someone didn't want to sell Sefer. She didn't want to make money, but that was the notorious.
It was a strategy, right?
Maybe. It's a good point. But alternatively, it's if you're not going to learn it, we're not here to make business. Right. What she said to me, she says, it's not a business. I said, but I'm going to learn them in the future anyway. Every time I learn the Sefarim, I think about that encounter. Anyway, so here in the bottom left-hand corner on page Samechtet, we're in Bava Kama Siman Kaf Aleph of Kehilot Yaakov, he makes the following claim. He says, Achen nir'a achen lefi aniyut da'ati. You see that paragraph right over there. Had the Danuba Gemara ibatar me'ikara azlinan, ומה שכתב אני מוקי יוסף דנחשב שעשה הכל בשעה צריקה, הם שני עניינים. So this is typical yeshiva terminology. It's two dinim. It's two separate things. Two separate conversations. The Gemara, which is talking about mana tevira tavar, the Gemara, which says it's all done and it's a broken utensil, and the Nimukei Yosef. Let me now articulate it before we even read it inside, the way they're two different things. The Gemara's words are very instructive. The Gemara says mana tevira tavar. What does the word mana mean? It means a utensil. The utensil is broken. It's not that the utensil is broke or is being broken at all times, or it's that the utensil is broken. Nimukei Yosef is talking about Hilchot Shabbat. Hilchot Shabbat, I care about what the person did. In one situation, we're focused on the item. In the other situation, we're focused on the person, on the action. That's the distinction he's going to draw. He's going to suggest that Nimukei Yosef is not disagreeing with Tosafot. Tosafot was focused on the action. On the item. Nimukei Yosef is focused on the individual and his action. What do I mean by that? Well, read together with me. He says, "Debagimara danu al ha-hefza." The word hefza, like in Hebrew, you would say hefet. Means an item. Shenishbar inechshav tekef bishat zirikato mana tevira o achar kach. וזה אינו אלא בשזרק הכלי עצמו, שכבר נמצא בו, הכוח נפילה. Argues נימוקי יוסף, קהילות יעקב. The Gemara is talking about the item, and therefore we distinguish, as Tosafot says, and everybody will agree to this, whether the item itself has built into it its self-destruction already or not. Is it only something coming to the item, or the item itself is already on its way to demise, independent of an external action? It itself is on its way to being. Aval bezorek hetz, if a person shoots, lekulei almayna hefza dekeli kishabur. He says, that's what Tosafot told us, and everybody will agree to that. We distinguish between whether the item is already broken or not, halachically speaking, with regards to if the item was effectuated or something is leading to the item. Aval divrei hanimukei Yosef, shekatab bishaat zirikat ha-chetz, kvar nechshav she'asa hakol, en kavanato shehakeli nidonet kishavur. The item is not as if it's broken. Ela rose lomar shehagavra nechshav achshav mazik olo im harag roseach dugma lezen. Goes on, he gives an example or two. So he says Kehilot Yaakov, he says the difference is, the yeshiva terminology, you say chefza or gavra. Chefza means an item, or gavra means a person. This is historically, when they talk about the brisk terminology, they say, do you look at the chefza, the item, or the gavra, the person? There's a lot of ways of breaking this down, but this is one of the typical situations where you're able to apply this terminology. Again, That being the case, so now let's try to take a step back before we read more of the words of Kehilot Yaakov. Let's now try to analyze this. And so we're suggesting that Nimukei Yosef is focused on the action. The action, I say, it's all done in this moment. But the consequences, the actual destruction, only happens thereafter. Well, that being the case, let's just start for a moment with the Gemara, the cute Gemara we threw in. Not cute, it's sad, but the cute proof we brought in, the Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit and Daf Kaftet. Let's, so to speak, pretend we're bringing the perpetrators of the destruction of the Mikdash into court. We say to them, at what moment are you liable for the destruction of our Mikdash? When are we writing down in the court records that you destroyed it? We're going to write down you destroyed it on the 9th. Your action took place on the 9th. But then with regards to our commemoration of the destruction of the Mikdash, when did the Mikdash actually get burnt? It only got burnt on the 10th. In other words, we're distinguishing between the item which got destroyed, the demise, the death of a person perhaps, the milacha which might take place on Shabbat, and the action of the individual who does it. Let's likewise go through some of these other proofs that we talked about. The Gemara in Masechet Ketubot. The Gemara in Masechet Ketubot is focused on, well, the Gemara says over there, you shot the arrow through the air, and as it's going through the air, it pierces through this item. Now, it needs to be that at the very moment, that it gets torn, it as well is a violation of Hilchot Shabbat. Well, the only way we're going, what I can do with Nimukei Yosef is to say that my action was already embedded in it. That's very nice. Was the item itself done? Was the hezek, the nezek, which was done to this item done? It wasn't unless, or better yet, over there, maybe I just said it wrong. Over there, we're talking about Hilchot Shabbat. I messed that one up for a moment. One more time. The Gemara over there says, I need the Nezek and the Isur of Shabbat to take place at the same moment. What's the Isur of Shabbat? The Isur of Shabbat is a ma'aseh that the person needs to do. In that circumstance, so one more time, let's review the Gemara. The Gemara says, I shot the arrow through the air. As the arrow's going through the air, it pierces through the shiraim, the silk garment, which is hanging out over there. Now, we need to establish that the Isur of Shabbat happened at the very same moment as the Ma'aseh HaNezek. In the very same moment that I damaged, I also violated Shabbat. The only way I'm going to argue that, says the Gemara, is if I say Akira Asorech Hanacha, the moment that I picked it up, it's as if it's resting down. The fact that I threw it into the air, it's going to rest down.
Then the piercing has to happen the second leaves your hand, or the same time it leaves your hand. So that it's the same time.
So the suggestion alternatively of the Gemara is that the piercing happens at the moment of the piercing, but it's already resting on the ground. Why are you saying it's already resting on the ground? Why don't you say everything was wrapped into my entire action?
But then you're not, what's the
Kamle B'Drabamine takes place at the moment when it pierces, we look at it as if it's resting on the ground. Every second
it's
in the air.
And it's still connected to your hand?
No, doesn't.
So how is it at the same time? In other words,
the Ma'aseh HaNezek, as Nimukei Yosef claims, is as we all know, it's Isho Mishum Hitzav or whatever. It's my chitz. It's an extension of my hand. Yes. It's my long hand going out over here. But the question is more specifically the Inyan Shabbat. Mm-hmm. At the moment when it pierces, is it on the ground? Does it violate Shabbat or not? So that's the moment we need to establish, not only with regards to the person, we need to establish with regards to the object. The Gemara is focused on the object in that moment. Is that object on the ground or not? The Nimukei Yosef won't help you with the object being on the ground. Nimukei Yosef will say, my action as the object being on the ground may have been done. Was the object on the ground? The object didn't rest yet. If the object didn't rest yet, that's why I need to come onto that logic called Akira Sorech Hanacha. I need to claim that those words. The same thing in the Gemara Masechet Ketubot, where the item is up in the air. Is the item on the ground? Your action may have been done from the very moment that it left your hand. You picked up that ox, I don't know how you did, and you threw it over the wall. Good. The action is done, says Nimukei Yosef, the moment you threw it out, it left your hand. I got it. And we can trace it all back to there, and it's one long extended up, all good. But what about the item itself? In order to violate on Shabbat, the item needs to be rested on the ground. I need to focus on the hefza. That's why the Gemara needs to use the words kiluta kemishehun hadamya. If you take a look at the words of Nimuke Yosef, take a look at the second paragraph here on page Ayin. He says the following, ubehacheniha, that's really what we're up to, answering the Ksota Hoshin's question, which we began today with. Mashihikshaha Ksota Hoshin sham. Lots of Rashi Tevot. It's to keep the simple people out of learning this. Sham behad the pasang. Historically, they had to do Rashi Tevot because they wanted to
save
from printing expenses. In today's day and age, it's just rabbinic way of writing, and better it's our club. Nobody else. Behacheni ha mashiiksha hakesot. It was in initial stages of learning Torah and learning Gemara. That was the hardest part for me. When I was a little boy, why do they have to write like that? Just open up the. I think today you could buy. They open up the Rashi Tevot for you. He's speaking Aksot HaHoshin's question, if you recall, where the animal went all around and touched the entire building. Wait a second, in the initial moment, it's immediately as if the whole thing is destroyed. Right, that's the way to articulate it. What would be if I lit one place, then I went around and I did the whole part. But before I did the whole part, someone else runs in and lights, does their own fire. Are they liable? According to Nimuke Yosef, we should say no. What's Ksot HaHoshin going to argue? He's going to argue absolutely not. Absolutely yes. Why? Why should I lit this portion? My action is done. The whole thing's going to burn down based on my action. My action is all wrapped into that initial moment. I should be liable for everything that follows thereafter. You run up, you say, Harari started it. I'll just throw in a few twigs, some fire, or some lighter fluid or whatever, and you only just continue it. Are you liable? We should say, no, my action was all done. But wait a second, was the item, was the building itself destroyed yet? The building is still standing. Your actions are significant because although my action is done, the building, the hefza, is not done. That's what he claims. He says, well, after Ayin Sham, this was all because the assumption of Ksot HaHoshin b'shitat Nimuke Yosef in interpreting Nimuke Yosef, understanding was that we equated Nimuke Yosef with Tosafot's issue, and we said the item itself is already destroyed. Based on what we explained, the item itself is not manativira. The item itself is not destroyed. This is the example that I just spoke out with you. If someone else came and did something, Shapir Hayav HaShoven. We're going to argue like Tosafot. There's a distinction between if someone else comes after I shot the arrow. Nimuke Yosef agrees. Rak dehagavra, the person mechshav mechashev is considered mazik miyad b'sha'at zerika. In the moment where he threw it, in the moment where he lit it, that's where his liabilities, that's what the example I gave you. We brought the Bavlim into court and we said, you guys struck up the Beit HaMikdash. One second, let's look at the videos. You see it only burnt on the 10th, yes. But so there's a discrepancy, says the lawyer of the Bavli. They say there's a discrepancy. You're making us liable for destroying the Mikdash on the 9th, but we see on the video that it was lit up on the 10th. It only actually burned down on the 10th. We say, absolutely. What do you mean, absolutely? That's a contradiction. No contradiction. Two dinim, two ways of seeing this. Your obligation is on the 9th. What actually transpired in terms of the item getting destroyed, that happened on the 10th. You say, lemaynaf kamina, first and foremost. It's significant for us to understand this. Secondly, there's going to be major halakhic ramifications. Everything we've been discussing, but this final one is the following situation. The Bavlim light up the Beit HaMikdash. It's burning for a full day. Then all the other haters, anti-Semites, come out and they decide, we're going to add to this destruction of the Mikdash. They walk inside and they start smashing things and destroy. It's all going to be lit up and going to be destroyed. Nobody can put this out. The fire is raging. There's no chance of stopping this. Who's liable? Only the Bavliim or the people thereafter as well who helped in it? Well, they helped, but it was going to burn anyway. Mana tivira tavar. Wait a second. Did the Bavliim actually pick up the items and throw them off a roof of something of that sort? Absolutely not. They shot arrows which were going to reach it. As a result, not only initial guys, but the later guys as well, because the item itself, although Nimukei Yosef is telling us we wrap the action of the person all up into the initial moment, the item is not destroyed. He's considered a mazik now. He goes on and he cites from those other Gemarot which we mentioned earlier. So for example, if you take a look at the second column over here, the second paragraph, Umashiksha od Bitrumata Keri, he's quoting from a different book, Al Shitat Nimukei Yosef. Misugya de Ketubot, remember that one? Daf Lamed Aleph Gabe Akirat Zorech Hanecha Ayen Sham. And so on that one he says, you should look the Kashi Alai Le Ayen Ka'et Binyan Amok de Kamle B'Darabamine. He won't, he doesn't have the audacity like I did to set forth an answer. He says, you have to look into that more. But he's sending us on the direction. Vihine, lastly, B'mashi Katafti Le'il de Gamle Hanimuke Yosef de Nechshav Ke Oseh HaKol B'Sha'at Zerikat HaHetz. Based on what we just argued, that according to Nimuke Yosef, all the action is done. Mikol makom, however, ha-chiyuv, the obligation for destroying the item, eno halela rak ahar kach, it only sets in afterwards. Kishenaaset ha-avera befoal, hachem mevu'ar lehedya bebaba kama daf'ayin. He says, maybe we can prove this as well from the Gemara that we began asking from Damrinan, umitchayev benafsho lahaveh ad shetanuach, ma shekatav animukei Yosef, debshaat zirika, ishta'abde nechasim afalpi shemet kodem, hanish nishta'abdu al ha-chiyuv sheyavo ahar kach. And so forth. Suggest Kehilot Yaakov, that's the way we need to distinguish. To very briefly summarize, we assumed yesterday and for the beginning of the class today that Nimukei Yosef, as Kesot HaHoshen provided us this evidence and this direction, was going up against Tosafot. And the suggestion was they disagree when something was going to be destroyed but has not yet been destroyed, but it's set into motion to being destroyed, although it itself has not been touched, although it itself has not been maneuvered in a way that it's going to be destroyed. The fire is reaching it, the arrow's on its way to it. We assume Tosafot says that's not direct, and if someone comes ahead and smashes it, the person's liable. Nimukei Yosef would say the person himself who set it into motion is liable. That's all a mistake, says Kehilot Yaakov, right, the Aharon. Why? Because we're confusing actions of a person with item which is destroyed. Actions of a person, very significant. Le'inyan Shabbat, that's what I care about. Le'inyan Shabbat. When did the fire take place? Is it throughout Shabbat and I wrap it into the initial moment? Or is it all done in that initial moment? Says Nimukei Yosef, all done in that initial moment. Baruch Hashem, I can light candles before Shabbat. But with regards to what happens afterwards, the candle didn't burn on Shabbat. You tell me the candle burnt before Shabbat? No. We draw a line. The candle did burn, but it wasn't my action which did it. The Bavliim, their action was done on the 9th of Av. The Mikdash is destroyed on the 10th. Lemay Nafkamina, again, the Nafkamina will be with regards to the Mikdash or anything else. What if others come and assist in the destruction? What if others come and light a fire afterwards? What's their liability going to be? The suggestion is that although the initial action of the first person is all wrapped into one, and therefore if it follows that their destruction is caused through that action, it's all going to trace back to the initial moment. The descendants will have to pay even if they died. If others aid and assist in the destruction afterwards, we'll say the item itself has not been destroyed because we distinguish between the gavra, the person's action, his ma'aseh, and the hefza, the item itself in terms of its own destruction. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen.